This is The Think Tank, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. With Dr. Mike O'Neill and hosted by Mike Russell. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
Okay, a little bit better than political issues of the week. This is political issues of the year. This is our year-end political award show. We have with us Republican consultant Chuck Coughlin, Arizona Republic columnist Bob Robb, and Democratic consultant Rick DeGraw. Okay, number one, Chuck, top story of the year, 2016.
Top story.
Arizona.
Arizona's top story of the year. I think it's Joe Arpaio. I think that's the rise and fall of the icon that was our sheriff.
Okay, Bob.
I think it was the settlement of the inflation funding lawsuit for the schools. The state was headed towards a constitutional crisis. It was averted. I would put Arpaio a close second.
Okay.
Arpaio's first. I think Joe leaving office is the biggest change in Maricopa County in a quarter decade.
Okay. I'll just throw in something a little bit different because it kind of got lost in everything else that was going on. Despite Republican dominance of everything else, in this presidential election, Arizona turns out to be a swing state, one of a few states in the country with a margin less than 4%. Mm-hmm. Number two, person of the year, biggest winner. Chuck?
Jeff DeWitt, our state treasurer, who was in a bloody fight about the issue Bob was talking about with our governor on 1-2-3, and clearly the most unpopular guy in Arizona, then hitched his wagon to the Trump campaign and now could have his pick of assignments in Washington. I don't think he's going to do that, but he's going to stay here. But his political fortunes have dramatically changed.
Friends in high places.
Yes.
Bob?
John McCain, he was thought to be highly vulnerable. He ended up winning in a cakewalk, and it wasn't because people misanalyzed his initial position. It's because he ran an exceptional campaign and took nothing for granted.
Rick DeGraw.
Well, I actually think John McCain falls in there, but I really believe Paul Penzone was the big winner of the year. Nobody expected him. I didn't expect him to win. Chuck didn't expect him to win because Joe had just been here for so long. And I think that makes him the biggest winner coming out of the Netherlands.
Okay. I'll throw in. How about Doug Ducey? He owns the Supreme Court, gets to make multiple appointments, gets his budget through, brokers an education deal, though that one still could come back to bite him. Okay. Political gadfly of the year.
Well, my colleague to the left of me, Mr. Robb, his constant comments and thoughtful commentary, I don't think anybody can top that.
I've been called a lot of things. Gadfly has rarely been one of them. Mine is Tom Ryan. He got rid of a corporation commissioner. That's pretty big success for an outsider.
Okay.
Interestingly, I picked the same thing. I think that was a major change.
Okay. My choice, Diane Douglas. Throwing a monkey wrench into the works on education funding by setting up a high dollar standard against which whatever the governor and the legislature comes up with will be measured. Loser of the year, person.
Loser of the year, person, unaffiliated voters, voters without a party preference, people who are disenfranchised and continue to be disenfranchised by our two-partisan system. Is it related to our presidential primary in particular?
Joe Arpaio. I think he lost more than Penzone won, which is why I didn't put Penzone as the winner. But in terms of the most thorough humiliation by someone who thrived on public adulation, his was the biggest fall.
Rick?
I think Eric Meyer. I think that was a real loss for the state. And even it doesn't matter that he lost to somebody who was also good. He was very thoughtful. He was good for the Democratic side. He was good for the centrist views in many issues. And I think his loss is a big deal.
I was surprised to see Arizona Chamber of Commerce money against him. That surprised me that he would be a target. My losers are two. One, I agree with the Sheriff Joe. That's, after 24 years. But his understudy as well shared that honor, Paul Bebel. two toughest sheriffs gone down in the same election. I think that's a pretty big deal. Yeah. Biggest victory?
I thought it was the minimum wage, the proposition to raise the state's minimum wage. I think most people in the business community thought that wasn't going to happen. I think people who looked at it from a clinical point of view thought it would happen, but the campaign was a big success, and they were very successful getting it done.
Okay, Bob.
I also had minimum wage, but I would broaden it because not only did an increase to $10 an hour pass in the state, but an increase to $12 passed in Flagstaff. So I do think that was the biggest winner.
And I completely agree. Biggest winner, biggest impact on the state.
Okay, we're unanimous. I said minimum wage. That's a substantial, though I keep on pointing out that that only takes us back by the end of the process in 2020 when we're at $12. That's exactly the same inflation-corrected wage that we had in 1968. Biggest defeat of the year, not a person.
I thought it was the marijuana, the legalization. I think it was poorly written, but many other states succeeded at it, but they screwed it up down here, and it came off as the biggest loser.
I agree, but I would attribute it less to how bad their campaign was to how brilliant I think that the anti-campaign was. I think that was why Arizona stood out compared to the other states.
I think we were the only state that did that was on the ballot, did not pass.
That's correct.
And I agree with it. I think it's because the legislation was so poorly written, you could actually say there were people in it for the money only. And that we're going to make large amounts of money.
They were the ones who were funding it.
That's exactly correct.
That's always a tough dilemma. Bob, I think your column that I read, I thought that was an interesting idea that the legislature, this thing went down by only 2-3%. And if the legislature wants to get control out of this, what they ought to do is legalize, but on their own terms, mm-hmm. without all of the.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I agree with that.
Because if
I don't
they
think it'll happen. But
because if they don't, next time it will pass. And they won't. They really won't like what the terms
of the debate will be dictated to them.
Right. Okay, last Arizona item. Biggest surprise of the year. Chuck?
I thought it was that John McCain had more votes than the president of the United States in Arizona. He outpolled, so you rarely see a Senate candidate outpolling the presidential candidate, and McCain had over 100,000 votes more than Trump.
My biggest surprise was the size of Joe Arpaio's defeat. Mm-hmm. I wasn't surprised that he was defeated. I actually anticipated that. But I never saw a double-digit defeat coming.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Helen Purcell. Can anyone listening to this program name the new county recorder? I mean, it's just so amazing that she would lose, and I still don't know why. I understand the reasoning behind it, but I don't know why.
Well, I think it had something to do with those lines. Repeatedly.
The presidential preference. Right?
I'm with Rick on you. I think it was Helen Purcell's demise after 28 years. Can anybody even name her predecessor?
Yeah.
Okay, we will be back in the think tank talking national winners and losers when we come back in just a minute.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
All right, we are back. Mike O'Neill here with Chuck Coughlin, Republican, Bob Robb, Arizona Republican, Rick DeGraw, Democrat. We're moving from the Arizona to the national scene. Chuck, top story of the year other than Donald Trump, which I excluded just because I assumed that would be boring. There would be, I would assume unanimity on that one.
Yeah, I would say voter dissatisfaction, just overwhelmingly negative voter attitudes towards government. I think that's the overriding that had to do with Trump. But
certainly the two most negative candidates that we can remember.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that by the end of the year or shortly thereafter, it appears that Islamic State will be denied any territory to govern. And that means that Trump will not have anything to bomb the you-know-what out of.
I think it's wildfires in the South, in states that haven't had them before, at least in any major degree. I think it's going to change the entire United States response to wildfires, which used to be just a Western issue.
I would add what I find the most interesting, at least this point of the year, the intricate dance between Trump and the Republican Party establishment as they jockey over what this presidency is really going to be about. Yeah. Biggest winner of the year, person, not Donald Trump.
Reince Priebus, the aforementioned chairman of the Republican Party who kept his ship together and now has a speaker. Reince is from Wisconsin. The Speaker of the House is from Wisconsin. And deals will get done because Reince will be the chief of staff.
Barack Obama, his approval ratings steadily climbed as the election progressed, I think, because it made him look very good in comparison. I don't know what will be left of his policy legacy, but I think he leaves the White House in pretty good regard.
Rick?
I said Mike Pence. I think that he's stepped into a position way above anything anybody thought he would get to, and it's going to give him and his bad views a much bigger audience than he ever would have had.
Well, I agree with that, especially in that it looked like he was going to lose his race for re-election of governor of Indiana. Mm-hmm. So this was a big win. But the other big winner, I think, in this election, Vladimir Putin, loser of the year.
Yeah, I think it's the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton. It's the complete dissolution of the party as an operative entity.
The Democratic Party will survive to fight another day. My biggest losers are the Clintons. I think that they were exposed for making politics a business rather than a calling, and that their reputations, in contrast to Barack Obama's, will not recover.
Right. Interesting that Bob says Barack is the biggest winner. I think he's the biggest loser, not because he won't be regarded well, not because he didn't have a high rating as he leaves office, but because things that he established will continue to be attacked for the next 4 years at least, and many of those things will be undone.
Yeah, that I think is one of the big questions. How far can you go in actually undoing it? To me, the biggest loser has to be Hillary Clinton. Not necessarily. I wouldn't put Bill in with it. But, she going into this year, she was inevitable. And to go from inevitable to a loser.
I'm pretty sure that Bill's million-dollar speeches are a thing of the past.
Not going to be cashing those checks anymore.
Okay. Winner of the year. Not a person.
Cable TV news networks, CNN and Fox, who made record profits off of this presidential cycle. Mm-hmm.
Traditional energy producers. I think Trump is sincere in wanting to lift the restrictions and maximize U.S. production of energy.
California recreational marijuana. I think that's going to push itself across the United States over the next decade and totally change the appearance of the United States towards marijuana.
I agree with that point, not just California. I think it was up in five states or
right.
six
but,
states.
And but one the volume in California
Arizona.
Is just...
Yeah. One in Arizona, or lost in Arizona, but only by a couple of points.
Right.
And one everywhere else. If you look at a broad pattern, that looks like an idea that's going to happen in a plurality of states at mm-hmm. this point. Biggest loser, not a person.
Political correctness. It's a thing of the past. I think that we're the new vernacular is to question everything and in any manner possible. And as our president-elect is now doing.
Obamacare. It was in the process of imploding before the election. I think it for sure will not survive after the election.
But what replaces it?
That's a much longer conversation.
I mean, to me, the big thing about Obamacare was the extension of coverage, and that's going to be hard to roll back.
National health insurance will continue. They will just stop calling it Obamacare, and they'll say, this is what we came up with.
There will need to be a safety net for those that are chronically or seriously sick. But other than that, I think that you will see a loosening up of insurance markets, mm-hmm. particularly in the individual market, as opposed to all of the requirements that were imposed through Obamacare that made it contradictory in terms of its economics.
But does that mean throwing out those with pre-existing conditions? Because without all those other things, pre-existing?
I believe that you will probably get rid of the requirement, but you will have some kind of alternative safety net for those that mm-hmm. can't get traditional insurance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Biggest loser, abortion rights and voting rights across the United States, and it's already started.
Hmm. I'd say truth, political discourse, and all of that. I mean, can you imagine?
You have to believe there was truth before.
Well, I think there's degrees. You know, essentially, Obama stuff at the level of Obama founded ISIS. And no backing off of that. What does this say to the next generation of politicians who are out there when they basically have discovered that there was no downside, that there was no punishment for a complete off-the-wall, bull-faced lie with no basis in fact? I think that's a – don't you think that's a level of
– It may be an increase in the level, but it's certainly not new.
Well, and it's a Trump only phenomenon. Any other politician would have been chased out of the arena.
Today, he appointed a secretary who founded the wrestling channel. World Wrestling. I mean, come on, what are we talking about? There's truth is gone by the wayside completely.
She was a legitimate small business person who had some success. Mm-hmm. I've got a little bit more concern with an EPA director who doesn't believe in the mission of the EPA.
Right.
You
could go on forever. If you get on Donald Trump, we can go on forever.
Well, but if it's a question of, you know, having people in agencies who don't believe in the mission of that agency, again, I think that's at another level.
Yep.
Beyond that, you can quibble over level of qualifications.
But you had Jim Watt as head of Interior during the Reagan administration,
exactly,
and a variety of other appointees whose job it was to try to reduce the scope of the agency rather than promote it. I think that's more an ideological point than it is a truth or non-truth point.
Mm-hmm. A fair point. What other, generally, any other observations about our national politics and where they've gone?
But about an issue, and that is the Mars trip. It's amazing to me how much renewed interest, and people are talking about renewed expenditures for a trip to Mars. I thought that was out the door for a long period of time, but it's now coming back on the scene.
I feel like you already visited Mars.
I know.
I'm going on my Mars journey.
Well, it's interesting. I doubt it'd be hard to recapture the level of excitement there was for the initial space exploration.
Well, it won't be once we screw up somewhere else.
Anyway, we'll be back in the think tank after the break talking about predictions for next year.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Okay, we're back in the think tank with our national and Arizona predictions for 2017. Chuck Coughlin, Republican. Bob Robb, Arizona Republican. And Democrat, Rick DeGraw. But before we get into our national predictions, I want to give you my award for the best prediction of 2015.
Well, I think you'll see the Trump bubble burst, and I think everybody will be mouth-breathing when it does, but it's inevitable, and it will happen.
And won't have anything to talk about.
Oh, we'll have plenty to talk about, because you'll have at least...
All right. Now, in fairness, I want to give a secondary award here, and this award is for the fastest quip of the year. Same winner.
Could Trump... If Trump is... the Republican nominee, and we talked about the convention. What happens?
Well, let me rephrase, because I wrote the question here. Okay, it's a two-part question.
I'm going to throw a pen at you. I'm hosting this.
All right,
go ahead.
Let me clarify.
I'll be in my train.
There's a libertarian walking out of the room when he doesn't get his way. Yeah, he wants to secede from the show.
Chuck, you're a double winner. Okay. 2017 top story national. Arizona predictions top story for 2017.
I think the beginning will be what happens with the Medicaid discussion, as we talked about earlier on the revisions of Obamacare and what happens there that could have a dramatic impact on the state, and then school funding, the continued discussion about the inadequate resources our public schools have.
I have to begin by saying that you could. Pick from my column a dire prediction about Trump, equally as severe as Chuck's. So he's hardly alone.
In all fairness,
in winning that award,
I will say he was the guy who came in earlier than anybody else and said, I think he's going to win. But interestingly, he said, but he's going to pivot and he's going to win. And what we got was no pivot and won anyway.
You
got
to double down.
Rick? I'm sorry.
I think the biggest story in Arizona will be whatever Doug Ducey decides it is. With Andy Biggs leaving as Senate president and moving on to Congress, Ducey has no rival. In terms of setting the agenda for the state, which means that his State of the State address in January will be one of the more consequential ones we've had.
And interestingly, I'll follow up on Doug Ducey on the next item, but I believe the story for Arizona is going to be housing, especially multi-housing, growth and economic growth in the state. I think it's going to pick up. I think it's going to be good for everybody. And I think the state is going to return to a much healthier position than it has for a while.
Back to the 80s.
Well, I don't know if it'll get to the 80s, but it'll get back somewhere.
Remember,
back
the critique was one industry town, and that industry is development.
Right.
To me, at least the obvious one is the education funding fight, and particularly having Diane Douglas having thrown down the gauntlet with a specific number. Makes that kind of interesting.
But no funding.
No funding.
No source. Exactly
right. I mean, you could have thrown out any number. Yeah.
But I think
she's inconsequential myself.
Well,
but
she,
I agree with Bob.
She's in a. But she's not the one thing she can do.
But she's making a point. I mean, and she put it out there. Bob's right. But that's for policymakers then to follow because the public opinion is there. It's just finding the revenue source or finding the opportunity to do that.
If the governor says we're going to fund education and here's $70 million, somebody's going to note that's 10% of what Diane Douglas proposed.
Right.
So I think that's why it has some impact. Big winner, 2017.
I say John McCain because as the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, he's the guy who I think will create a stabilizing force in for Arizona and for the world on a national stage.
My choice are Republican members of the Arizona House of Representatives. The new Speaker of the House, J.D. Mesnard, has said that he's committed to making it a more deliberative body. He is setting up appropriation subcommittees, saying he wants the budget to come up from the bottom up. So I think those people have a chance to be empowered in a way that they haven't been in a very long time.
I think the big winner of the year is Doug Ducey. This is his state now. It is his state to do with as he pleases through the Supreme Court, through other appointments, through the departments, all of which he's changed, and through the legislature. And I believe that if the state doesn't go the direction people think it should go, it's his fault. And if it does, it's his victory.
My winner of the year next year, APS. They own their own corporation commission. Big loser.
I think it'll be the Lucid Automotive plant in Casa Grande, which the state just gave $42 million in subsidies to, and I understand has less than that in the bank. And I believe they already owe $50 million to there's a significant investment out there that they owe people money, and the Pinal County Board of Supervisors gave them land. So it's just not going to work. It'll be the biggest headline story of the year.
I think it will probably be legislative Democrats. If there's a more deliberative House, there will be greater opportunity for Democrats in the legislature to play a role. If they are wise and smart politically in so doing, I don't anticipate them being either.
I think the biggest loser has been said before, and that's Arizona public education. I think you're going to see a legislature that says, well, we gave them money last year when everybody voted for them. They don't need more or they don't need much, or it should all go to private charter schools or whatever it happens to be. I think public education is the biggest loser.
I'd answer Bob with a question. Do you think that deliberative process includes an end to the de facto Hastert rule? Do Democrats get to play in the legislature now?
In appropriation subcommittees in the past, Republicans and Democrats made deals on agency budgets and policies that the agencies would pursue. So you don't need to have a repeal of the Hastert rule on the floor, which I don't think is ever going to happen no matter who's in charge, in order for smart Democrats legislatively to have opportunity. We were talking before the show about Alfredo Gutierrez, who, while he was in the minority, and even when he was not minority leader, exercised enormous influence because he understood how to engage smart and politically. I've not seen that kind of leadership from Democrats in the legislature for a very long time.
Didn't they also need his votes, though? Weren't the houses more closely divided?
Well, there have been opportunities in the past where Democrats could have provided votes when the Republicans were having difficulty rounding them around. And they've wanted to make their point for the next election rather than affect policy when they've had the opportunity.
Okay. Chuck, biggest surprise 2017?
I think that a credible challenger to Michelle Reagan will rise. The Secretary of State has had trouble executing the duties of her office and has done a 180 on dark money. And I think both of those will bode ill for her.
Bob?
Jeff Flake at the end of the year will look far more formidable than he does going into the year. He has charted an independent course, and I think it will suit the politics of the state better than currently projected.
I think the biggest surprise of the year is that minimum wage will not destroy Arizona's economic recovery or economic growth. And no matter what the chamber says, you're not going to have that happen, and that will, quote, surprise everybody.
Yeah. I will agree with that one, but not be at all surprised by it, because we've done pretty well when the minimum wage was de facto higher than what it is now. Republican rising star.
Bob already spoke about J.D. Messner, the new Speaker of the House, committed, as Bob articulately indicated, a path to empower his members. The strength of a speaker is by representing the members of his body. Several speakers we've had ever since Jake Flake left the office failed to understand that the way to negotiate is to empower your members. J.D. as an intern, going back to his intern days down there, understands that, and I think he's committed to making the House an effective body.
Mesnard is also my choice. In addition to sort of the process changes that we've talked about in the House, he's also put together a first-rate conservative policy wonk staff. So there's a possibility that he may become an alternative source of energy on policy to the governor's office over time.
Okay, Rick.
I think Mr. Mesnard has a great opportunity in front of him. I like what he's looking at in terms of staffing. I like what he's looking at in terms of policy development. We'll see if it can happen.
Okay. I agree with all that, but I'd throw in, again, we've talked to him a bit before, Jeff DeWitt, friend in high places never hurts. Quickly, last round, Democratic rising star. Maybe quick, are there any?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, we've talked about Paul Penzone, but I'll give you another one, David Garcia. I think he'll be the Democrats' nominee for superintendent of public instruction, and I think he'll win.
She's already a star, but I think she will continue to rise, Kyrsten Sinema.
Yep. I would completely agree with that, but I'd throw in Tom O'Halloran. He's new. He's smart. He's a great guy, and he likes to socialize. I think he'll make a great congressman.
I like another congressman, Gallegos. I think he's going to be around. He and Sinema, you'll notice, got together in opposition to former Speaker Pelosi, suggesting maybe there's, you know, a wave of new Democrats out there. We will be back in the think tank to wrap this up with national predictions for 2017.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Okay, final round of predictions. Now we're talking about real predictions now, 2017 at the national level. Put on the crystal ball. You've done it before, Chuck. you're the repeat guy. That's what that made you a big old target on your back. So biggest year winner, not 2016, but 2017.
Paul Ryan. I think Paul Ryan, with his relationship with Reince Priebus, I think that's why the stock market's going as well as it is right now, because I think people see a potential partnership for true reform and to create change in Washington on multiple policy levels, on multiple issues that will create economic expansion and more stability in our economy.
I have enormous respect and admiration for Paul Ryan, but given what he's going to have to balance with the Trump White House, I don't know that I would even if everything Chuck says comes true. I don't think he's going to feel like a winner after that ringer.
But if he, my theory is that Trump actually will back Ryan, and that libertarian, that the Freedom Caucus will be vulnerable from a Trump presidency. If you're not with Trump and you're not with Ryan, then Trump is going to campaign against you next time, and that becomes a problem.
We'll see.
We'll see. That's my theory.
He just may have to wake up to the tweet of the night every morning.
Well, that's my big winner, Twitter.
Twitter.
It is the medium of communication for the most powerful figure in the world. And I don't think he's going to give it up. He's got 16 million followers. It's his way to bypass the national media. It obviously satisfies a psychic spot of his.
Adrenaline.
And lordy, do things move when he tweets. So Twitter is my choice.
I actually think two things. I think the biggest winner are the anti-abortion forces. I think you're going to see them coming out of the woodwork across the nation. I think you're going to see court challenges across the nation. And depending on what happens with the courts, and I don't think good things, you're going to see at least a great pullback of pro-choice work. I think the other biggest winner is going to be the Trump company, because the Trump company is only a name. It really has no value of anything other than a name. And you've now got the President of the United States, who can use his name to get Argentina to allow him to build his buildings in Buenos Aires and other places. And he can do that across the world. And I believe he and his family will be multi-billionaires, even if he is only worth $500 million now.
Would you rather see Ivanka in the government or at the Trump Organization?
Well, I got to tell you, there's a variety of things I'd rather see about the family. And the one thing that I haven't mentioned is Michelle Obama, when she was attacked for wearing a sleeveless dress to an event, attacked viciously by the right-wing media, called all kinds of awful names. And now you have a Mrs. Trump who does more than wear a sleeveless blouse. And I just think it's really a weakening of the entire presidential position.
Well, I had a duel. I agreed with the Paul Ryan thing, but I'll add Mike Pence. I think Mike Pence is going to be the go-to guy for policy,
as I said,
and have to deal with Paul Ryan, and the interesting question will be the dance. Does the sort of conservative Republican orthodoxy that Trump sort of ran against dominate the day? At the moment, it kind of looks like it is. So. You say no.
I say no. I don't think so.
What happens?
Well, I think he's a deal maker. I think, and he's going to, and with Reince, and there's going to be deals made. And orthodoxy does not create deals. And he wants to make America a winner again. And he's going to define the terms of that on his Twitter page. That's his definition.
He believes in protectionism of everything that he ran on in this election. That's the one thing that I think he truly believes in.
And that is not Republican
and
orthodoxy.
And that is not Republican orthodoxy. And it could have dramatic economic consequences.
And
so if the scenario where Trump becomes what he ran against, an unlikely scenario, I think you can see an awful lot of conservative reforms take place. Pence and Ryan will lead that. But if he pursues his mercantilist instincts, I think you're going to see a lot of nerves rubbed raw and a lot of this kumbaya fall apart.
We had John Shattuck on this show, and I ran through with him a long list of areas where the Trump position was 180 degrees from the traditional Republican conservative position. And the one where he said, quote, you're going to just have to take one for the team, was infrastructure. Yeah. Meaning they're going to have to go along with infrastructure.
They're going to have to do that.
Well, but I disagree.
I disagree as well.
You've got enough deficit hawks.
That's right.
In the Republican caucus. And you have a requirement to increase the debt limit in March.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the world is Trump going to get the votes to do that?
Yes.
Maybe not from the Democrats.
Will he try?
Yeah.
He's looking at trillions of dollars. And he's looking at an infrastructure that needs even more than that. He has no place to get it because even the Republicans don't believe him when he says, well, because I'll cut taxes, we'll get more taxes.
Are there enough true deficit hawks in the Republican Party that are deficit hawks even when there's a Republican president to enforce that?
No one knows that.
But he's going to be making the ask for infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
With the need to vote for an increase in the debt limit two months down the line. Those two are going to be conflated, and that's not going to be easy sledding.
Okay, Biggest Loser.
Vladimir Putin. At the end of the day, I think that's the Russian oligarchs, the businessmen that Trump has business relationships with. He'll strengthen those relationships. I think the Pentagon has put Mr. Trump on, President-elect Trump on notice of what a bad guy this guy is. And I think that blossoming of the Putin relationship will look like a very, very distant memory a year from now.
Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. I think their opportunities to obstruct are going to be curtailed, and Democrats have far more vulnerable seats up in 2018 than Republicans. There are 10 states where Democrats are having to run in states that Trump won. They're going to have, I think, a miserable time and a caucus that is increasingly frustrated at their lack of legislative or electoral victories.
Rick?
I think the biggest loser is the Supreme Court and therefore the American people. I think the Supreme Court is going to be removed as a third arm of our government because I believe the appointments will be ridiculously biased. The same way you're seeing many of the people who go into the administration going now. The fact that we could not get a new Supreme Court justice, even a centrist, on board, and now that's going to be left in the dust, and only the far right will get appointed.
Back to me, it's political institutions. Customs have just been obliterated. We've got time for one more. We've got about a minute to go. 2017, biggest surprise.
Immigration reform and a border security bill will pass the Congress, and that issue will be finally addressed.
Mm-hmm. Senate Republicans will eliminate the filibuster, not only for judicial appointments, but after grassroots rebellion over the lack of progress for legislation as well.
Uh-huh.
National health insurance will remain. They'll just change the name.
How about Romney Care? That'd be a good name. Okay, now you know where you've been. You know where we're going. 2017. We've got you all on tape. We'll have you back next year, and we'll find something embarrassing.
God willing,
for sure,
we'll be here, Mike. Thanks for having us.
Okay,
thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Chuck Coughlin, Bob Robb, and Rick DeGraw. Mike O'Neill here in the think tank on KTR.